What is going on? Bill Ryder with you. Happy Friday. Thrilled to have the honor and the opportunity to fill in for Jim a second day in a row. Loving this Southern California lifestyle. Just moved back in the last week. So thank you to Jim. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks to the guys. Robert Desmati producing today. James Kelly on the board. We have so many, man, radio's a small world. So many contacts and relationships in common. What we don't share is an affection for Jay Cutler. But you know what? Nobody's perfect. By the way, this program, as always, today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I bring up James' love for Jay Cutler because I'm going to use Cutler as an example. Never thought these words would come out of my mouth to compare him, wow, to Aaron Rodgers. We'll get to that here. It actually hurt me physically to say that out loud. In just a moment here on the program, in an hour, at Milwaukee Bucks fans, I got you. Fear the deer. You're not wrong. And we will dive in that 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Pacific slot into Giannis. And not just a huge game, not just the Bucks clinching that top spot, not just a reminder of what Mike Budenholzer has done there, but this is the mark of actual true greatness. The few superstars who go to that rarefied air can do it when motivated by something like anger. And as good as Joel Embiid was last night, he talked a big game, and Giannis literally swatted that away in his face a record four times. Giannis is the future of the NBA. We hit this yesterday a little bit. Shaq was right, and we'll circle back to that, dive in a little bit, and we'll do some Final Four previews. Final hour of the program here on the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder filling in CBS Sports Radio. 2 Eastern, 11 Pacific. Three great guests also lined up for you. My buddy, Reed Forgrave, lives in Minneapolis, covering the Final Four. Hoops guru for CBS Sports, CBSSports.com, CBS Sports HQ on the show about 35 minutes. And I would argue, we're going to have two of the three best NBA writers, in my opinion, on the show the 2 days I'm lucky enough to be filling in. Had Howard Beck from Bleacher Report yesterday. Sam Amick is legit. And bonus Sam Amick, great person moment. The guy that introduced me to In-N-Out Burger, which was its own, life-changing moment. Who knew such good things could come out of Sacramento? I should have. I didn't know. I'm from the Midwest. So Sammy will be on the show. He's now at The Athletic because, according to the numbers in front of me, 97% of all sports writers are required by law in America to work for The Athletic. And Sam is certainly one of them. Again, 1:40 Eastern is the time we'll talk to Sam. And Jeff Goodman, also Hoops Insider for Stadium, going to be on the show at 2:20 Eastern. And Goodman called out Matt Norlander on my own show, Rider Than You, 6 to 10 Eastern here on CBS Sports Radio. Norlander let me know that Goodman never pays for dinner, and we're going to drop that cut on him and see whether or not that cheap but talented dude finally coughed up some money. But I want to start with the Aaron Rodgers story. Ty Dunn in Bleacher Report with a very comprehensive look at a remarkable level of dysfunction in an organization in the Packers because of their storied history. Certainly I and most of us, when we think of a well-run ship. And of course, if you want to weigh in, love to hear from you. There's a lot of ways to do that. 1-800-636-8686. Rome@haveatake.com on the old email. Jim on Twitter at JimRome, JimRome.com. If you want to hit me up, Sports Writer, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. I'm a big believer in culture. I'm a big believer, even though it's not a sexy storyline, and if I were on one of those shows on television where you're supposed to scream at each other at the top of your lungs, it wouldn't really play there, that your owner and how that person manages the folks beneath them and how they manage the culture and the superstars that shape it, in the rare cases where someone has such an amount of talent that they have a disproportionate level of power over how it feels to go to work every day, is the single most important outcome. Maybe after, and it's a maybe after talent. And we've seen this before. I referenced Jay Cutler, and I understand it's irrational. I'm a Bears fan. I'm not going to pretend I can back this up with facts, information, reality. I hate that man with a burning passion on a level you can't believe. The other day, I'm back in L.A. after being in New York for a couple years. Bumped into somebody. They'd listened to the show a couple times. Very cool of them. They said, "Are you Bill Reeder?" I said, "Close enough. It's Ryder, but you know what? The fact you got the first name I'm in." And they just randomly told me a story about how they belittled. They were at a bar, also a Bears fan. They saw Jay Cutler a few years ago, several years ago, after a loss and drunkenly belittled him and said, "You're a crybaby," and got kicked out of the bar. That person's my new best friend. I hate Jay Cutler. Not like I don't like him as a player and he hurt my team. I loathe him. I hate him. I don't want physical harm. But if you say, "Hey, Ryder, sign this this document," and Cutler is banished to Siberia forever, I'm 100% in enjoy the cult. In part because he was a terrible force on that culture. And it's not all irrational. I mean, my feelings of Edmond Dantes' Count of Monte Cristo level vengeance that I want to enact is probably irrational. But back in my reporting days, and in my TV days when I'd move in and out of green rooms with guys that play in the NFL, if you brought up Jay Cutler's name to a bear who played with him then or after the fact, and the guy kind of looked around, I'm thinking of some big names. Man, happened at the Super Bowl this past Super Bowl too, the words they would unleash and the picture they painted ruined the Bears. I'm not going to do the Chris Paul thing too much. I've done a lot on my show, but the brief version is Chris Paul's an amazing, amazing player. By all accounts, a great dad and a terrible person to work with. I mean, just not a good teammate. People do not like him. Why did the Clippers always fail to be successful? And I would argue, why do I doubt the Rockets? Because Chris Paul is as good at destroying a culture as he is dishing that basketball. LeBron James can actually go on both sides of this equation. And I'll give you an example that I think is closer to Aaron Rodgers. We circle back to this Ty Dunn story. Ben Roethlisberger is and has been the bad guy in Pittsburgh. It ain't Le'Veon Bell. It ain't Antonio Brown. And because on my show I call Roethlisberger Little Ben, if I just muscle memory into that, just know I can't call him Big Ben here on the program, here on the Jim Rome Show. Because that guy would freeze out his own receivers, was a uber diva, get out of here. And there's examples on the other side of this thing. Say what you want about Tom Brady and the weird kissing on the lips of his son in the Facebook documentary that I can't erase from my brain. It's not, you say, Ryder, that's you know, apropos of nothing. True, but so is that moment. So it's just like a nightmare comes back sometimes. Tom Brady, whatever you think of the dude, is a winner in part, especially in the first 15, 16 years of his career, who is willing to subjugate his ego and be made an example of at the hands of Bill Belichick to set a tone and what a culture for that team. LeBron at his best did it. Peyton Manning did it. Steph Curry is the most important player outside of LeBron James in the NBA, and certainly the better warrior, if better means what will get us championships, than Kevin Durant, because he did it. And how bummed I was to read the Ty Dunn story that not only is Mike McCarthy, or I guess I should say he was a joke, and that doesn't surprise me, but Aaron Rodgers is a big part of the problem. And to those of you listening, saying to yourselves, who is this Bill Ryder guy? Hey, what's going on? Bill Ryder, CBS Sports Radio, 6 to 10 Eastern during the week, filling in for Jim Rome. And who is this Ty Dunn guy? Well, let me say this about Ty Dunn, if you're not familiar with him. He specializes in long-form stories, really long reads, but they're reported. And they have, over the last few years, played themselves out accurately. I'll just give you one example. He wrote the definitive story heading into the Sean McVay era. When Jared Goff was a joke and everybody said he was a bust, why Goff might be not just legit, but utterly underestimated. And we had him on the show that I host, and we let him say his spiel, and it was really smart. And I remember saying to the audience, like I'll say to you now, what happens to Jared Goff will define whether Ty Dunn's reporting bears itself out or not, because that's a big limb to walk out on. And he got it right. So when he reports that former Green Bay running back Ryan Grant said that Aaron Rodgers always had a chip on his shoulder with McCarthy because McCarthy passed on him with the Niners for Alex Smith, I buy it. And that's a malignancy. That's a cultural cancer you got to get past. You don't think Tom Brady had a reason to be mad at Bill Belichick for rounds 1 and 2 and 3 and 4? Get out of here. Ego at a certain level of greatness. And I'm not going to sit here on the Jim Rome Show and pretend, filling in for Jim, that Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback of all time. He's not. He is the most talented quarterback we've ever seen. And I understand that there's a gulf you have to cross from your talent to whatever legacy you're going to leave. But what Ty Dunn has illuminated is why it hasn't happened. One Super Bowl championship for Aaron Rodgers, if that's the way it ends, is a failure. And we all thought it was a Ted Thompson failure or a Mike McCarthy failure. Or a defensive coordinator failure. Should have known. I should have known. We should have known. Culture's key. Well, you know what we're seeing with the Lakers right now? And I hope Jeannie Buss pulls out of this nosedive. Huge fan. Huge Jeannie Buss fan. She is smart. She cares deeply about her father's legacy. And she was willing to do the hard thing and fire her brother. But, and in this podcast that trinkets, little pieces are dribbling out, this business podcast where she says, in answer to, will Luke Walton be there, I'll defer to Magic Johnson, just reinforces for me the Lakers are becoming the Browns of the NBA. A culture of dysfunction and a place that swallows up talent. In Cleveland, they swallowed up quarterbacks. And I'm worried in LA they're going to swallow up guys like LeBron. Why? Because culture is everything. It matters. And Aaron Rodgers is a huge part of the problem. I should have known. We should have known. An unnamed source in Ty's story says that Rodgers always complained that his coach had a low football IQ. Maybe the lowest of coaches he's had. Look, I've been in the radio business and TV business and the writing business a long time. And I have worked for some remarkably low IQ individuals. Not anymore. Any of my bosses listening, you're the smartest one that I've ever worked with. By far. Yes, you. You are the one I'm talking to. But you don't say it to the crew, whatever your level, important or low on the totem pole, when you're in that moment, when you're in the foxhole. When you're a team, you operate like one. And an ex-Packer scout, and those, some of you are reticent to buy into anonymous sources. A, it's the only way you're going to get information. B, if you've ever gossiped in your office about somebody and not walked into your boss's office and be like, by the way, I think you're a moron, then you're a hypocrite right now. And C, again, Ty Dunn is a guy that has a track record. He gets stuff right. Ex-Packer scout says Rodgers is an arrogant quarterback, quick to blame everyone but himself, not as smart as he thinks. I had to read that over a few times because I'm like, is this a story about Ben Roethlisberger? I'm super confused what's happening here. Oh no, it's Aaron Rodgers. And you should take Ty's word for it. You should take my word for it. Bill Ryder with you filling in for Jim Rome. What's going on? But you don't really have to because all the way back in December, shortly before Mike McCarthy was fired and he felt all the feels because people were mean to him because he got fired. So mean. Aaron Rodgers walked out to the microphone. Remember, guys, at the LeBron level, at the Brady level, at the Aaron Rodgers level, they're not some backup linebacker or four-string wide receiver. Or I hope someday I'm the sixth man of the year in the NBA player who doesn't understand sometimes the power of the microphone. These guys get it and they've captured it. Aaron Rodgers spends half of his time, they're pretty funny, doing insurance commercials. He understands the magnitude of his words. So this isn't just throwing his coach under a bus. It is throwing him under a fleet of greyhounds as they race by on the 405 at 80 miles an hour.
Well, I just think it's the same things that we unfortunately say every week, and I hate to repeat myself, but it's applicable. We're just not on the same page consistently. We're not executing the right way. It's the same stuff. It's poor throws, not on the same page with receivers, wrong depth, protection. We all have a part in that, and we've all picked our time to mess up a third down.
You know, I listened back to that this morning, and I had this horrible revelation. It just occurred to me. Aaron Rodgers is Littlefinger from Game of Thrones. Oh, my God. Chaos is a ladder, and Aaron's been climbing it. But, buddy, if you are a Game of Thrones fan, you haven't caught up, A, shame on you, and B, it's too late. You're going to get got, dude. Winter is coming. Culture matters. Leadership matters. Guys not believing in you matter. I haven't even gotten to the fact that as part of this reporting that Ty Dunn lays out, and it's not like Mike McCarthy comes out smelling like roses. He's getting massages during team meetings. Yeah, a little to the left. No, actually, how about down the hall and to the right? Because you're supposed to be talking to your team right now. I'm not saying Mike McCarthy gets a pass. Sounds like he should have been fired sooner, but bad cultures beget bad cultures. It does. It becomes a cultural cancer. These malignancies can come from multiple places. And at a certain point, if you're a Packers fan, you don't care about the cause and the effect. If there are problems that keep you from excellence, you want them addressed. And a lot of us thought, I thought if you just uprooted Ted Thompson and maybe Mike McCarthy, you got him at the roots, you'd be fine. No, this thing has spread. And whether Aaron Rodgers was the catalyst or he's now been infected by the big contract and being part of a place that doesn't know how to build an idea and a notion of teamwork, it doesn't matter. In this report, he's freezing out receivers who don't go with the offensive plan he wants as he wrestles it from Mike McCarthy? No, man. Aaron Rodgers and the reason he's won a single Super Bowl, which is an underachievement for his talent. Remember, again, that's why I hate Jay Cutler. Shouldn't have even been in the postseason. Bears had the best record in the NFC that year. All they had to do was win, I think, on the road at Green Bay. But still, and you keep the Packers out. Packers get in. Packers get hot. Packers go to Chicago. Aaron Rodgers gets it done. And you are what your record says you are. I get that. He got the Super Bowl, but it was by a thin margin. Even his mark of excellence was a close call. And now we know why. Because ego is the only thing that can take down the kind of talent Aaron Rodgers brings to the table. Give me a call. I'm bummed by this, but it's true. 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. Rome at haveatake.com. Jim, of course, on Twitter, Jim Rome, jimrome.com. I'm on their sports writer. Sports is my last name, R-E-I-T-E-R. More on why Aaron Rodgers is the biggest problem in Green Bay and the solution, if there will be one, to make good on his massive talent when we continue in a moment here on the Jim Rome Show.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
What up? Bill Ryder with you back here on the Jim Rome Show, filling in for Jim. Happy Friday. Thank you for being here. Reed Forgrave, CBS Sports Hoops Guru, NBA, and College Hoops, going to join me from Minneapolis, Minnesota, about 15 minutes right now, though. Going in on Aaron Rodgers, man. I don't even want it to be true. I love Aaron Rodgers. Do you know how much it makes me a self-loathing Bears fan to have had to grudgingly acknowledge the greatness of Brett Favre, and then when he went away, be like, at least that's over. And then Aaron Rodgers rolls in. But ego is a hard thing to overcome. Doesn't matter if you're the president or you're the biggest movie star on the face of the earth or you're the highest paid player in the history of the NFL. If you surround yourself with the wrong people, if you start to live in an echo chamber, if you camp out in an ivory tower, you will lose your compass. It will impact you. I do understand the reasons why we're so quick to leap on this reality when it applies to LeBron. It did 7-8 years ago, and it does again now. And not with a guy like Aaron Rodgers or Ben Roethlisberger. It's a reality. These are human beings. What they do on the field of competition and what Rodgers does, just from a talent perspective, is as special as any quarterback has ever done it in the game's history. But it doesn't mean he's infallible. And the reporting from Ty Dunn and Bleacher Report paints a picture that fills in the pieces. It's like getting the end of Game of Thrones in advance and then watch. Like, oh, that makes sense. Aaron Rodgers is the bad guy. 1-800-636-8686. My mom used to work in Appleton, Wisconsin. I'm from the Midwest. Was a pharmacist in Appleton. Spent a lot of time there. Good people there. Not sure Derek in Appleton's going to agree with me, but I'm thrilled that he's here hanging out. Derek, what's up, brother? You're on the Jim Rome Show.
You there?
I'm here, buddy, and you're there. What's going on? You're on the Jim Rome.
Fantastic, man. You know, I'm going to touch on 2 points here. You know, I understand where you come from a little bit. You love to listen to the media talk and come at you. But here's the problem. You don't know what's really happening behind the closed doors. That's the first point I'm going to say. You know, you have several reports coming back from your server, from other wide receivers saying he's an awesome, awesome teammate and a great leader. The second point I'm going to comment, we haven't had a defense in 7 years. We haven't had one. And you're going to put the fact that he hasn't gone back to Super Bowl because of Aaron Rodgers? No, it's because we haven't had an organization that has not built the defense around him at all. They put it all on his shoulders, and he's carried us to how many different NFC championships games on his back. But yet you're going to comment that he's a bad teammate? That's crazy.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely going to comment and say that. And respectfully, Derek, let me just lay it down for you. You're a Packers fan. You want things to be a certain way. I understand. But I do know more than you do about what's going on behind the scenes because I've spent the majority of my adult life being a reporter, building relationships, getting a sense for which sports writers are full of it. And trust me, they're out there. There's a guy that I worked with once, and you wouldn't know his name, but you might read his work from time to time, who was a straight up, making up quotes liar. And they knew it, this place I worked, and they covered it up. It happens. And there are guys who, when they report something, it is legit. Adrian Wojnarowski reports that some crazy trade went down. The trade went down. Adam Schefter says, you know what? Antonio Brown is leaving town. This is where he's going. That is where he's going. And that's not just true for newsbreakers. It's true for context providers as well. Ty Dunn's one of those guys. He's got a track record. And so here in this story, putting together the pieces and the people I've talked to in the past about Aaron Rodgers, my man, of course it's legit. And I hear what you're saying on the Green Bay Packers defense, but let me offer this up to you. And I'm not going to pretend I'm an X's and O's expert. Not a head coach, not a scout, not a GM. But I'm pretty sure, last I checked, none of the players on the Packers defense have anything to do with Aaron Rodgers refusing to throw the football to a wide receiver who won't help him usurp power from Mike McCarthy in some power play that's about ego and not excellence for one of the most storied organizations in the NFL's history. And I'll go further still. There's some anonymous sources on here, but Ryan Grant's name is on these criticisms. JerMichael Finley's name is on saying he believes the huge contract for Aaron Rodgers went to Aaron Rodgers' head. Just because you're great at what you do doesn't mean you're a good person. And just because you're bad to people at work or make work less successful doesn't mean you're a bad person. I'm not making a moral judgment on Aaron Rodgers, the brother, the buddy, the good Samaritan, the insurance pitch man, the friend. But I am telling you that your massively talented quarterback has gotten his massively talented ego to a place where it's not propelling your team forward, it's blocking what you can be. Is he to blame for that? Here's the question, Derek and Appleton. It's not, is it true? It's why is it true? Is it because the Packers culture was so dysfunctional that it helped to raise up Aaron Rodgers into this player of massive talent and massive problems? Or was it Aaron Rodgers? And at a certain point, who cares? Nature versus nurture is interesting while we try to raise our children. I'm not sure I care as it relates to my quarterback. I just know there's a problem that's got to be fixed. Here's a solution. And unfortunately, in Mr. LaFleur, they brought in, I don't have him from, but I think like a 12-year-old who got the job because he once like had a drink with Sean McVay at a bar, and so maybe he got some of his germs or whatever this weird McVay obsession is. That young new head coach, it's going to be hard. Going to have to set boundaries and win over Aaron Rodgers at the same time. Good luck. JoJo in Maine, appreciate your listening to the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder filling in. You are on the air, my friend.
Hey, Bill, how you doing today?
I'm good, brother. What's going on?
Not much, and I actually wanted to take this a step further and connect it. We all know Kyrie is a great player, and people have been questioning his leadership lately. And recently, this goes exactly what you're talking about, the culture and just the big-headedness, if you would. He's saying he doesn't want to be in the spotlight and a celebrity in an interview while he's wearing an Uncle Drew hat. So it just kills me. So I love the show. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. That's the other thing. Just think about wherever you are getting mad at me, criticizing Aaron Rodgers. Just think about how many people you've encountered in your life who are important at your place of work or powerful, the boss or the most important person, and how many of those people were actually the people they presented when they managed up. Some of them are. I've worked with some great human beings. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Jim Rome, and this is not, I was telling the guys, this is not always true in the business, is not just the most successful person to ever do what he and I do for a living. He's one of the most gracious. But there are some other guys just behind Jim who I have met, and some other guys way behind Jim who just think they're just behind Jim who I've met, who are miserable human beings. They just are. So you never know. Aaron Rodgers, every time he goes in front of a microphone, is managing up with his brand and to sell you something and to pitch you something. But Bill Parcells was right. People tell you who they are, listen. And Rodgers has been saying it. All right. 1-800-636-8686 is the phone number. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim here on the Jim Rome Show. My buddy, my colleague, Reed Forgrave, is in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Covers hoops, wide array. College hoops, the NBA for CBS Sports. Going to get his perspective on the Final Four and probably hit some Giannis. When we come back to the program, Bill Ryder filling in for Jim on the Jim Rome Show. I'm Bill Ryder with you here on the Jim Rome Show. Very cool to be filling in. I was just talking to the guys about how the first time, there are several in every career. And for me to be sitting here on the Jim Rome Show is a level of opportunity, and I suppose you call it success, I never imagined. And there's at every, so I look back at every step, there's four or five turning points, and Jim Rome was involved in four or five of those. And one was doing the old Jim Rome show on CBS Sports Network, changed my career and changed the career of the guy that's joining me now, Reed Forgrave, based in Minneapolis, Minnesota, is there, of course, covers Hooch for CBS Sports. Reed, how scared were you the first time you did that Jim Rome TV show and met Jim?
It was like the first time I'd ever done any like actual real television
Me
show.
Me too, yeah.
And you don't meet Jim until the very first day when you're in the makeup room and they pull back the curtain and you walk out to the stage. And it was just like, all right, calm, breathe.
Right. Wipe away the sweat. Reed Forgrave here on the show. Reed, you're in Minneapolis. We've got four teams, obviously, that are left from four different conferences. And some surprises, I think, for a lot of folks. Not everybody. Texas, surprise. Texas Tech. Auburn's a surprise. Do you like this tournament as it's found its way to the Final Four? How do you feel about just the games and the storylines this weekend?
In a word, no. Because I think the Final Four should be something that is for the casual fan, not just a big-time college basketball fan. If you're a big-time college basketball fan, I think there are incredible storylines at this Final Four. Frankly, the one that I think does rise to that next level as far as like a narrative goes is Tony Bennett and the idea of this Virginia team, 1 year and 3 weeks ago, having the worst loss in NCAA tournament history. First time a one seed lost to a 16 seed, and then coming back and having a chance to win it all. It's incredible. It doesn't surprise me because Tony Bennett is the type of guy who handles these type of things really, really well. What he said this week is that it's been like a very intentional effort as far as confronting that demon over the past year with himself and with his players and everything that it taught him. Kyle Guy told me that he kept a picture of that UMBC game on his phone as wallpaper for the past year to remind himself, like, this is what bad looks like, and it gives himself some perspective on life. That is a storyline that I think is universal and beautiful and amazing. The other storylines I think are a little bit tougher for the casual fan. Bruce Pearl, a year and a half ago, we wondered if he'd still have a job because of the FBI investigation. Here he is taking Auburn to his first Final Four. Chris Beard and this just scrappy, underrated Texas Tech team and how they've turned Lubbock, Texas into a national power in basketball. And then Tom Izzo saying what he said the other day was that he needs this national title, his second national title. He needs his validation for his own career. I think that's fascinating for Coach to just come out and say that. But let's be honest, though. The casual fan, they wanted one thing and one thing only in this Final Four, and it was Zion Williamson. And he ain't here, and he doesn't deserve to be here because Duke wasn't good enough, plain and simple. They should have lost. They should have had a 1-3 record in the NCAA tournament. They end up losing that last game. That is a bummer. The fact that some of those blue bloods aren't here, and it really could have, I mean, the idea of a Duke-Carolina title game just would have been amazing. Like, it would have been a ratings bonanza for CBS. But I do think if you look a little bit deeper into these storylines, there's some awesome storylines here. It's just not as obvious to the casual fan.
Reed Forgrave here on the program. Follow him on Twitter at Reed Forgrave. I'm Bill Ryder filling in for Jim. Jim Rome Show, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Michigan State, Texas Tech. What Chris Beard has built in 3 years at Tech is pretty remarkable, Reed. One of the best defensive teams in the last 20 years, this Tech team. And we know what Izzo and Michigan State are. Walk me through who wins and why in that game tomorrow.
I have this gut feeling that Tech's going to win it all. It kind of flies against conventional wisdom because really they don't have the scoring power, the scoring capabilities that you usually see from a team that wins it all. And yet there is something about this group. When we talk about that scrappiness, it's such a cliche in college basketball. The under-recruited guys, nobody believed in them, and here they are on the big stage, overachieving once again. You spend some time around this team, and it is so true the way that, I mean, they were picked seventh in the Big 12 in the preseason. Nobody believed them. They lost five of their top six scorers. Their best player, Jarrett Culver, he's going to be a lottery pick. He might be as high as a top five pick. This is a guy who's a three-star recruit coming out of school. Chris Beard is one of the, and I don't use this word lightly, one of the geniuses of this business. 8 years ago, this guy was coaching
semi-pro basketball in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. He has this absolutely insane path to the Final Four, and yet here he is. I get that he's going up against one of the March Masters. Tom Izzo is absolutely incredible. And this Michigan State team, I mean, this is also a team that's kind of against all odds, but here they are. They don't have those one-and-done level players. They don't have a Jaren Jackson or a Miles Bridges, but they're a better team for it. Cassius Winston, he is just one of those little dudes that you're going to see in at the YMCA in 20 years, and you're going to be like, he's still doing it. I can't believe it. Such a smart basketball player. I know NBA scouts aren't as high in him as perhaps they should be when you look at his college stats. He's just a little bit small, but he's such a smart basketball player. And point guards win titles. That's what we usually see. But there is something about this Texas Tech team. Maybe because it's recency bias. I spent a lot of time around him in Anaheim at the West Regional. But there is something about him that really strikes me as special.
Reed Forgrave here on the Jim Rome Show. All right, Reed, so we have Jeff Goodman on in about an hour and a half. And Goodman is reporting, and we'll talk to him about it, that Coach K wants to dial back the reliance on one and done. And we have seen several programs over the last 6-7 years. There's a couple exceptions, but largely the teams that have won the whole thing have had upperclassmen, guys with some experience. What is the right way to build an NCAA champion in this era, for at least for now, while the one and done still exists?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's going to be dialing back. It's not going to be an option anymore pretty soon. So Coach K may be a few years ahead of the curve there. I think the best way to construct a team in this era looks a lot like that, like for a blue blood, right? Like there's going to be a Villanova-type program that just goes about things in a different way. That recruits 3 or 4 year players and has a program to put them through so when they peak, their team peaks. But if you're a team that's out there and is competing for these one-and-done guys, and there's a dozen or so schools who are generally in the running, I look at that 2015 Duke team, and then I look at, frankly, this year's Kentucky team as two great ways to go about it. You get 2 or 3 elite-level one-and-done type players, but then you have that veteran experience. This Kentucky team had Reed Travis, and I think that was a guy who could have been a difference maker. Clearly was not a difference maker, but could have been a difference maker for this team. And when we look at that Duke team, Quinn Cook was a really big part of what made that Duke team run. They had those 3 freshmen who were one-and-done players. They also had Grayson Allen. We kind of forget about him on that team. But Quinn Cook and then Emile Jefferson were guys who really made that team succeed. So as long as one-and-dones are still around, I think that way of doing it, not going all one and dones, but getting a little bit of experience mixed in, I think that's a great way to go about building a team.
Art Reed Forgrave, I got to give you some credit here because you and I have known each other, oh my God, world, for 20 plus years, close friends. When I was doing radio early on, you came on, I think in October, and when I never even heard of Wichita State, you said they're going to be a Final Four team. I mocked you every weekend on the radio. Then I had to apologize to you on national radio. Then last year.
I enjoyed that.
I'm willing to own up to those mistakes, even though I have a show called Rider Than You, 6 to 10 Eastern. What are you going to do? And then last year, my doubt having dissipated, because I've been through it with you who cover the intersection of college hoops and the NBA, so the draft really right in your sweet spot, you said repeatedly on CBS Sports Radio, on CBS Sports HQ, any place that would have you, mostly those two, no, it's kidding. You said that Luka Doncic should be the number one pick in the draft, and it wasn't even close. So, with that track record, Reed Forgrave, covering this thing, being an expert on this thing, Zion or Ja Morant, who should be the top pick in this upcoming NBA draft?
It should be Zion, 100%. Period. There's another universe where Ja Morant, maybe even RJ Barrett, could be the number one overall pick. But in the echo chamber that is the NBA draft, and when you take in some of the external factors here, there's no one else that will be the number one pick than Zion. Because look, if let's say the Knicks get the number one pick, you want to be relevant. Like if you're a small market team, you want to be on national television. Ja Morant is not going to get you on national television. John Morant isn't going to sell tickets. Zion Williamson is going to sell out the Garden. Zion Williamson is going to get the Phoenix Suns onto national television in a way that no other player gosh, in recent memory could as a rookie. So I think that is something that that really, really matters. When you look at, I don't think Zion is as much of a guarantee NBA star as some people think. We've never seen a player like this. The comparison to LeBron James isn't correct as far as playing style, but is correct as in this is a guy of which we've never seen. To me, I look at him and I see not Blake Griffin, not Charles Barkley. I see a guy who's Julius Randle, but more skilled and more athletic. That is an all-star, period. That's a really, really good basketball player, and certainly has the potential to become something more. I mean, truth is, we don't know the type of player that he's going to become, whether it's LeBron-like or Draymond Green-like or something that we've just frankly never seen.
All right, Reed Forgrave, last one for you. Give me the 30-second version of who is playing on Monday and who's getting, who's cutting down those nets. Sounds like you have Texas Tech over who?
Texas Tech over Virginia. I think that would be not a ratings bonanza, but I tell you what, college or high school basketball coaches the nation over will be like, study this defense. This is how you play defense. Those are two of the best defensive teams I've ever seen. The fundamentals is absolutely incredible, incredibly well coached. I get that Tech doesn't have the scoring efficiency and the scoring potential that we normally see. But they got Jarrett Culver, and the dude is probably the most talented player, maybe DeAndre Hunter, but probably him left in the Final Four. That would be an extraordinarily low-scoring game, one of the lowest scoring that we've seen in a long time. And it would be close, and it would be scrappy, and it would be fun. I'd love to see that. And then I'm going to actually pick Texas Tech to beat them. I can't believe Lubbock, Texas is my pick to win the national title, but there it is.
All right, Reed Forgave. Actually, I lied to you. One more, but this one's got to be 30 seconds. You have a vote for all the NBA awards. Last week, you were going to put Harden at the top of your ballot. Have you come to your senses after last night's game? Do you have Giannis number one?
Completely torn still. I have 1 week to make a final decision by next Friday. Still leaning Harden, man. Like, the history of what he's doing. You know, highest scoring season since Michael Jordan. Second highest since Wilt Chamberlain, half century. And the fact that he's done it on a team that he's needed to do it for, this isn't just ball hogging. This is what the Rockets have needed. That's where I'm leaning. Don't quote me on it for another week.
I won't, dude. I need you to get to the right place. Reed Forgrave, my buddy. Enjoy Minneapolis, your hometown. Enjoy the Final Four. Thanks for making time, brother.
All right. Have fun doing Rome, man.
Thanks, dude. Cool. See you, buddy. It's time to ask the pros, where you, the clones, get to ask me a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros and submit your question. Be listening later in the show when I might answer your question. Thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Bill Ryder with you, filling in for Jim. Jim's back, of course, on Monday. Thrilled, honored to be sitting in this chair today and yesterday. We've got several of you on the line who want to weigh in on my stone-cold truth that Jay Cutler subtracts from the sum of all human joy, and that Aaron Rodgers might be a huge part of the problem in Green Bay. 1-800-636-8686. Email rome@haveatake.com. I'm on Twitter, Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Join the conversation. We'll take your phone calls. Clones, appreciate you very much. Bill Rutter filming for Jim, keeping it rolling on this Aaron Rodgers angst in Green Bay when we continue in a moment here on the Jim Rome Show.